This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Weekend of violence. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, January 20th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Two police officers in Hawaii have been killed responding to a call. Elsewhere, at least two people were murdered outside a Kansas City nightclub, and two others were fatally shot at a bar in San Antonio.
A state of emergency has been declared in Virginia ahead of a gun rally today in the capital of Richmond.
Cities around the country today are honoring one of America's most prolific civil rights leaders. Hear how some are marking Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
And why McDonald's is not going all in on plant-based burgers like its rivals.
This would add this whole other category and a lot of headaches that go with it in terms of griddle space. And we've seen with Burger King, the lawsuits starting to roll in with vegans saying, hey, wait a second, you can't use the same spatula or you can't use the same flat top area for my vegan burger as the regular meat burger. So there are some logistical problems.
Laura Riley at the Washington Post on Mickey D's holding out on plant-based burgers. Shooting at a bar in San Antonio, Texas has left two people dead and five others injured. San Antonio Police Department responded to a shooting at a bar called Ventura in the popular Riverwalk area at around 8 p.m. last evening. Police Chief William McManus says an altercation appears to have broken out between customers. That's when one person pulled out a gun and began shooting.
It's nothing more complicated than an argument that occurred inside the club with someone pulling out a firearm, at least one person.
In total, seven people were shot. A 21-year-old man died inside the club, while a second person in critical condition was later pronounced dead. Five people are currently being treated at area hospitals. Their conditions were unknown. All of the victims appear to be patrons. No employees of the bar were shot. Also, the gunman is still at large. The concert, called Living the Dream, featured a lineup of up-and-coming rappers who are popular on social media. MySanAntonio.com quotes a witness who estimated that 25 to 30 people were in the bar at the time. Two police officers in Hawaii have been killed in the line of duty by a man who authorities believe later died in his home after he set it on fire. It happened in Honolulu yesterday morning in a quiet neighborhood not far from Waikiki Beach, a popular area on the island of Oahu. Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell called the shootings an unprecedented tragedy for the state.
I was hoping that my time as mayor, I would not have to see something like this occur. The last time was in 2003.
A third officer was injured in the incident in which the spreading fire destroyed several houses in an affluent area near the base of Diamond Head, a volcanic mountain at the southern tip of the island. Hawaii News Now says the incident started when officers arrived at the home of 69-year-old Jerry Hanel, a man who had reportedly stabbed his landlord, a woman who was trying to evict him. The officers were met with gunfire, and the suspect then set fire to the home, which spread to other houses. Police believe Mr. Hanel died when the house went up in flames. We are also this morning watching developments in Kansas City, where two people are said to be killed and multiple others shot outside a nightclub in that city. To Washington now, where members of Congress are still arguing over how the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump will be conducted, specifically whether to allow new witnesses and evidence. Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer.
We can force votes. Leader McConnell will never be for witnesses and documents. He has said he's taking his cue from the White House, and the White House wants a cover-up. They want no truth.
Georgia Republican Senator David Perdue said yesterday on NBC the Democrats declined to negotiate the structure of the trial without first resolving the issue of witnesses, leading to a vote tomorrow on the plan. Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby was on ABC's This Week.
I think the House rushed a judgment on this. They could have pursued this a lot longer, but they made a political decision, and I think they've got problems now, and they want us to unwind their problem.
Meanwhile, the Democrats filed a document Saturday that outlines the case they plan to present. The president's legal team, in a response, said the articles fail to allege any crime or violation. Democrats counter that impeachment doesn't have to include a crime. Thanks for being with us. President Trump enters an election year with a strong economy. Economic growth has averaged 2.6%, better than the Bush and Obama administrations. Gains for minority groups have been especially strong in 2018. Women opened businesses at nearly twice the pace as during the prior 6 years. Mr. Trump yesterday assured American farmers during a visit to Austin, Texas, that a trade agreement he signed with Beijing will lead to major purchases of U.S. agricultural products.
We did a great deal with China, great for our country, and hopefully it's great for China, too, because we're going to sell them the greatest product you've ever seen, right?
Meanwhile, what else can be done ahead of the election? We're joined now by Peter Morici, economist and also business professor at the University of Maryland. Peter, how do you see it?
Well, the economy's doing pretty well. We've got good jobs creation and so forth. So, you know, if the election were Valentine's Day, he'd be in good shape.
However, you say?
Well, I think the economy's going to take a hit in the first quarter from the Boeing shutdown on the 737 MAX production. And it's going to be substantial, like half a percentage point. And we usually have some winter doldrums either in the first or second quarters. So this summer, when we're coming out of the conventions, the last GDP data we're going to have is the first and second quarters. We don't get third quarter data until after people have largely made up their minds in October. And I think the jobs creation and wages are going to take somewhat of a hit. Also, there's the fairness issue, and that's going to come to the foreground at a time when the economy isn't quite doing as bouncy as it was last year. And those are middle-class issues. Those are the issues folks on the Democratic side won on in 2018, and that's how they got a House majority. I think he's going to have to address those.
Explain, too, how you said there are some who claim manufacturing is in a recession. But you point out, well, when you drill down, that doesn't seem to be the case.
People don't hire people to do nothing. And in 31 of the last 33 months, adjusting for the GM strike, we had jobs increases in manufacturing. That is nothing to sneeze at. So I'm very skeptical of this notion that manufacturing is in a recession. I'm starting to wonder about the Institute of Supply Chain Management survey, which is largely a sentiment survey. I mean, the jobs numbers are hard numbers. You know, the week that has the 12th day of the month, and if they count noses, how many people are you paying Social Security tax on? And those numbers keep going up. So my feeling is manufacturing's in good shape. It could be better. I mean, if we get these trade wars, you know, reconciled, it would be better, but they're not dying over there.
I'm speaking with Peter Morici, economist and business professor at the University of Maryland. And he's written a piece entitled, What Trump Needs to Do to Earn an A in Economics. What else do you see here?
Well, I think that the president needs to move more effectively on health care, and particularly on drug prices. I think the Democrats, Pelosi, championing this bill where we benchmark U.S. prices to those in Japan, Australia, Canada, and in Europe, I think are really sound. I think that, you know, just encouraging more transparency is only going to land the president in court where Obama judges will throw out his regulations. But if we had congressional legislation and the president signed it that benchmarked, drugs to prices abroad, I think we could lower prices a lot. The reimportation that he's suggesting really only applies to state agencies. That's not going to get us very far. Likely to be challenged a lot in court. Getting tied up in court isn't the way to win people over, especially those middle-class suburban voters. Also, if he took a hard stand on this, what could the Democrats say then? It would be very difficult for them to oppose him. Likewise, if he proposed an infrastructure bill and talked about doing some real debt forgiveness for the higher education debt. Right now, really all he wants to do is rearrange the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, and that is basically, you know, move those people out of the Department of Education into a separate office. There are things that we could do, that we should be doing, and that he can do. And I think he can do it by challenging the Congress and putting the Democrats in a position where if they oppose him, they're opposing the middle class. A middle class New Deal.
What would you like to see him do with immigration reform, given the potential here for, or I guess, real potential for labor shortage?
I don't know that we're going to have the kinds of labor shortages in this decade that we're worried about, simply because of artificial intelligence and automation and all that. However, I think that a point-based system like the Australians have with regard to immigration, where we put more emphasis on high-skilled workers, would work very well. Now, Pelosi and company are opposing that. But if he was proposing that as part of a bundle to help the economy, you know, infrastructure, higher education reform and debt reform, and more work on health care.
It's Peter Morici, economist and business professor at the University of Maryland. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Kashenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Virginia's capital city is bracing for the expected arrival of thousands of gun rights activists and other groups that have vowed to descend on Richmond to protest Democrats' plans to pass gun control legislation. Governor Ralph Northam declared a temporary state of emergency days ahead of today's rally, banning all weapons, including guns, from Capitol Square, where the event is set to be held. Militia groups and white supremacists are among those expected to mix with gun rights activists, raising fears that the state could again see the type of violence that exploded in Charlottesville in 2017. Number two, two people are dead and five injured after a person opened fire indiscriminately at a San Antonio bar last night. City Police Chief William McManus says his department responded to a shooting at a bar called Ventura, steps from the San Antonio River, around 8 p.m.
One person at least pulled out a gun, started shooting. Don't know if it was at a specific individual or just shooting indiscriminately.
A 21-year-old man died inside the club, while a second person in critical condition was later pronounced dead. No one is in custody. Number three, House Democrats filed a brief outlining their formal case against President Trump as the Senate impeachment trial is set to continue tomorrow. The brief asserts that Trump schemed to withhold $391 million in security assistance to Ukraine in order to seek the announcement of a probe to benefit him politically was the framers' worst nightmare. Alan Dershowitz, who has joined the president's legal team, told ABC Trump should never have been impeached because his conduct doesn't amount to a criminal offense.
You have a lot of evidence, disputed evidence, could go both ways, but the vote was to impeach on abuse of power, which is not within the constitutional criteria for impeachment.
The Democrats' brief also makes several references to the report by the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office that found the withholding of Ukraine aid illegal. The Kansas City Chiefs set up a date with the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl on February 2nd in Miami. The Chiefs came from behind to beat the Titans 35-24, led by quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
Coach Reed puts us in situations where you have to not be in the exact opportune or that advantage to your way. It's an advantage defense, and he wants you to go out there and succeed.
And the Niners beat the Packers 37-20, the opening point spread for the Super Bowl right now. Pick 'em.
That's a good one. That's a good one. 50 years for the Chiefs.
That's been a while.
23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Next, new developments to help missing people.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Supporting our entire workforce. Everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. Motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top,
top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. Thanks for being with us. A small police department in northern New Jersey is offering residents free scent kits, hoping to give their bloodhound canine more precise smells to pursue in emergencies involving missing people. It's a story by Leslie Brody, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Leslie, what's up in Maywood, New Jersey?
Maywood police say they're the first police department in the country to give out these scent kits, they're called, to residents who have someone in their family who may tend to wander off, like an elderly person with dementia or a child with autism. They say that it's a big help to their canine unit, their bloodhound, who tracks people down using smell, if they get a really strong scent item, they call it, a piece of gauze that can have the scent of the person they're trying to track down. So they're asking, offering these kits to families, and the kit has gloves and a piece of gauze and instructions on where to put it on the person's body, like a neck or armpit, to get a good scent. Then you put it in the plastic bag, and you put it in the freezer, and then if your person goes missing, you can give this sort of very pristine object of scent to the police dog to help track down your loved one.
Oh, wow. So it's a, so you use the piece of gauze, I guess, to you rub it on the person's body? Is that what happens?
Right, right. And the idea is to get a very pristine, unique scent. Like if the police said that sometimes if someone goes missing and they say to a family, hey, give us something that smells like you know, the person, the family will go for dirty socks in the laundry bin or a pillowcase, but those items have often touched other people or touched other people's laundry, so there's a confusion of smells, and they want something that has only one person's smell on it that's very pristine, because apparently the bloodhound's noses are so incredibly sensitive that, you know, they can distinguish smells very precisely, but they get confused if there's several different people involved in the same, you know, piece of cloth.
Right. That's really something. We're speaking with Leslie Brody, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, about her story entitled Scent Kits, Aid Tail-Wagging Detectives in Search for Missing People. I know you referenced this small town in northern New Jersey of Maywood, but how widespread is this?
There's a woman in California who's a bloodhound handler and a police captain invented this and started marketing it last year. So she sold, her group says, thousands online, but this is the first police department to give it out, so it's kind of a new thing, and so we don't really know exactly how many people are using it, but the idea is interesting.
It's Leslie Brody, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday, January 20th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: 2 people killed, 5 others wounded at a bar shooting in San Antonio. 2 people killed in Kansas City and at least a dozen others wounded after a gunman opened fire outside a nightclub. 2 cops in Hawaii killed responding to a 911 call. A gun rights rally in Richmond, Virginia today could draw 50,000. It'll be the 49ers and Chiefs in Super Bowl 54 in 2 weeks. Australian Open tennis underway today, and a list of Martin Luther King Day celebrations in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Let Dell Small Business Technology Advisors help you upgrade to the latest Windows 10 business computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Burger King touched off the plant-based meat revolution in the restaurant world when it launched its Impossible Whopper in August. It was followed by offerings from the likes of Dunkin', White Castle, Subway, Little Caesars, KFC, Hooters, Taco Bell, Qdoba, Panera. There's been one notable holdout, though, McDonald's. Here's Laura Riley, who covers the business of food at the Washington Post. Laura, set this up.
Pretty much everyone's jumped on board. So plant-based is going nuts. It's the biggest trend of the decade, probably. Really launched by Burger King's Impossible Whopper, but followed swiftly by Subway, White Castle, Little Caesars, Panera. I mean, I think Panera just committed to having over 50% of its menu options plant-based, like as of immediately. So we're really seeing a tidal shift in terms of plant-based offerings at fast food restaurants and, you know, quick serve restaurants. And the big holdout has been McDonald's.
And how come?
They're taking their time. So first of all, there's no single supplier that could scale up quickly enough to meet their demand. So they have 38,000 restaurants worldwide, 14,000 in the U.S. alone. So that's twice the number, or almost twice the number of Burger King outposts. So we're talking about an enormous endeavor.
Wow, yeah.
Just in terms of scale. So that's one reason. But that's not the only reason. I kind of did a little searching yesterday. McDonald's is mum on the subject. They're not talking. But a lot of industry experts said, well, they've had line speed problems for the past couple years, so 2017, 2018, in terms of drive-through times and counter service times. And part of that is because they've had too many menu offerings. So they really, really tried to scale back, limit the number of menu items, decommission ones that aren't performing well. And so this would add this whole other category and a lot of headaches that go with it in terms of griddle space. And we've seen with Burger King, the lawsuits starting to roll in with vegans saying, hey, wait a second, you can't use the same spatula or you can't use the same flat top area for my vegan burger as the regular meat burger. So there are some logistical problems.
Wow.
So there's a lot to think about in terms of rolling something like that out at 38,000 restaurants. Mm. But then also another issue that I think is fairly unique to McDonald's is that they are really perceived as a value proposition. You know, they've got the dollar menu, which they kind of use as a cudgel in terms of, you know, the competition. They're really known as the value leader. They haven't done super well on a premium product. You know, they've tried lots of different premium burgers, and this would have to kind of fall into that category. There's no way they could offer it for under $5. So we're starting to creep into, you know, the super premium burger category, and it just hasn't been a great performer for them.
Interesting. We're speaking with Laura Riley, business of food reporter at the Washington Post. Her piece is called Restaurants Are All In on Plant-Based Burgers Except McDonald's. There was somebody in your story, too, who was critical of McDonald's just simply because saying they lack innovation. Like, is that part of this?
Yeah, you know, I think it was one of the experts I spoke with said, you know, think about it. When was the last time they were kind of innovators in terms of a product category? And I paused and I thought, yeah, I don't think I really remember them leading the charge in any particular arena. And one area that they've been also kind of far behind on is a great chicken sandwich. I mean, we've just been through the great chicken sandwich wars of, you know, 2019 with Popeye, et cetera. And McDonald's, a lot of their franchisees are really clamoring for a quality chicken sandwich that competes ably with the, you know, those other big ones, you know, Chick-fil-A, et cetera. And I think that it's interesting that is the single item that most franchisees want to focus on. So I think we'll even find McDonald's rolling out a plant-based or blended chicken plant-based sandwich in, you know, the next year or two. So that could be another real interesting growth area to watch.
Wow. How about this PLT that they experimented with, the plant lettuce tomato sandwich?
I think that what I've heard, they don't give their numbers, you know, but I think what I've heard is that it didn't perform in Southern Ontario as well as they hoped, just in terms of raw numbers. And that could be a difference in Canada versus the U.S. right now in terms of interest in plant-based. But you have to bear in mind, you know, if they sold 100 of these at a franchise on a particular day, the company sells 6.48 million burgers a day. So this is a teeny drop in the bucket,
yeah,
you know, when
yeah.
you really kind of take the full numbers into consideration here. So, yeah, I think it didn't do quite as well as they anticipated, but that doesn't mean if they rolled it out regionally in the U.S. that it wouldn't perform better.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Riley, who covers the business of food at the Washington Post. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. It is time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we're often in need of reminders these days that not all heroes wear capes, and in some cases, they wear replica Kansas City Chiefs jerseys. Before the Chiefs punched their ticket to the Super Bowl on Sunday, one fan saved the day by making sure that the grandparents of one of the team's stars would be in attendance. According to his daughter, David Fearn was on the same flight from Atlanta to Kansas City as the grandparents of Chiefs wideout Tyreek Hill. That flight was canceled, and the three needed a new solution to get to the game. They decided to book a one-way flight to St. Louis, and then David then rented a large SUV to drive them, along with three other fans, the rest of the way to the game. Thanks to David, Hill's grandparents arrived in time for them to see their grandson score two touchdowns in the AFC Championship game.
No, that's not like that's just like a hop, skip, and a jump.
No.
That's a minimum 3.5 hour ride from St. Louis Airport to Arrowhead Stadium.
Right, crossing the entire state there.
Yeah, that's impressive. And then I presume the guy had to go back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is what you do. You know, two things. Again, one, when your team hasn't been in the Super Bowl for like 50 years,
yes.
That was his motivation.
Right.
And then obviously, you know, the grandparents of Tyreek Hill, they, you know, got to get there under any circumstances.
I wonder, does Tyreek Hill now do something special for the super fan here?
Yeah, I don't know. He did tweet a thank you.
He tweeted a thank you.
I don't know what that does for him exactly.
Right.
You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's some Super Bowl ticket situation.
That's kind of what I'm hinting at. I don't know if that's available.
Those are scarce. Those are hard to get there. You know, even for the players, those are sometimes hard to get their hands on, but maybe you could do something.
And how many do you get as a player? Because I assume Tyreek's grandparents would also like to attend the Super Bowl.
Right.
But if he only gets two tickets,
then
the driver is out.
Maybe there's some other way that we can thank this gentleman. Yeah. And speaking of Kansas City, as we no doubt will be doing a lot of over the next few weeks, if you're getting ready to cheer on the Chiefs on February 2nd and looking for a lower-calorie way to enjoy an adult beverage, you can now try your hand at the White Claw Machine. The bar called Gamble Social Club in Kansas City recently installed the machine, a play on the classic claw machines kids have been pumping quarters into for years. In this version, cans of White Claw spiked seltzer are on display for you to grab instead of toys or stuffed animals. To play, you just deposit a dollar and you get your chance to grab an empty can of the seltzer. Winners then exchange that can for a full one at the bar. The bar's manager says that the idea for the machine came from an employee, and so far, it's been a big hit.
Wow.
Although I have to assume for it to be a big hit that you actually have to win, which, you know, never happens with those real claw machines, like on the boardwalk by the beach or whatever.
Right.
Because those things can't even pick up a bag of feathers.
So it weight matters, right?
Yeah.
So is an empty can easier to pick up than a full can?
I mean, you would think so, but I mean, there's really almost
you
nothing.
Crush a little bit, right, and grip it.
I guess those things have no grip whatsoever. I think a toddler has a stronger grip than those claws do usually. Yeah.
This also could be like a regulator.
Yeah.
Right. If the bartender suspects you've been drinking too much,
right.
He could say, "Listen, go fish one out of the machine over there.
Yeah.
Go fish the empty can out and bring me the empty can, and I will give you another beer."
Yeah,
right?
I'll be happy to give you one if you can successfully get one out of the machine, which is probably impossible.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Ever thought about how dirty your home or office coffee maker can get after all those uses? Whether it's the single-serving Keurig, espresso Nespresso machine, or a traditional coffee maker, it's important to keep these appliances clean to prevent the growth of bacteria, yeast, or even mold. Lisa Yakis, Senior Product Manager of Consumer Products at NSF International, formerly known as the National Sanitation Foundation, told USA Today that without routine cleaning, these things can get pretty grimy. She points to the water reservoir, the part of the coffee maker that stores the water, as one of the dirtiest parts of the kitchen if not cleaned on a regular basis. An NSF International study of kitchen products in 2011 found that 50% of the sampled reservoirs in coffee makers had mold or yeast. According to the FDA, foodborne yeast and mold can be a source of sensitivity for people with allergies and may even cause infections. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, authorities and neighbors say a Hawaii man with a history of run-ins with police and neighbors was facing eviction when he stabbed his landlord and killed two police officers before the house he and two women were believed to be in caught fire. Honolulu Police Chief Susan Ballard.
Our deepest condolences go out to the families of officers Tiffany Enriquez and Kauliki Kalama.
Police say the suspect and Tuwin were inside the house when it caught fire, and it could take days to process evidence and recover any remains. Number two, police in Kansas City, Missouri say at least two people are dead and 15 people injured in a shooting outside a bar that occurred shortly before midnight. Police officers found a chaotic scene and had to call in help from around the city. Two people were found dead, including a woman in the parking lot. Police believe the shooter is one of the deceased. The shooter opened fire on a line of people waiting to enter the bar, but the motive for the shooting wasn't immediately clear. Number three, China has reported a sharp rise in the number of people infected with a new coronavirus. The outbreak coincides with the country's busiest travel period as millions board trains and planes for the Lunar New Year holiday. Health authorities in the central city of Wuhan have confirmed more than 200 cases. Elsewhere, Prince Harry says he is taking a leap of faith and stepping back from being a senior royal, adding that there was really no other option. Speaking at an event last evening, Prince Harry said he and Meghan had hoped to continue serving the Queen.
It brings me great sadness that it has come to this. The decision that I have made for my wife and I to step back is not one I made lightly.
Earlier this month, Prince Harry and Meghan said they intended to become financially independent. And Parasite became the first foreign language film to take top honors from the Screen Actors Guild, setting itself up as a legitimate Best Picture contender to the frontrunner 1917 at next month's Academy Awards. Other Oscar favorites kept their momentum, including wins for Renee Zellweger for Judy and Joaquin Phoenix for Joker.
If it was a foreign language film, how do they know it was good? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Makes no sense, does it?
No, it doesn't.
None at all.
Nope.
6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, where MLK Day celebrations are taking place. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
All over the country today, scores of people gather to honor one of America's most prolific civil rights heroes, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King would have turned 91 on January 15. He was assassinated by James Earl Ray on April 4, 1968 in Memphis. Here are some locations paying tribute to his legacy. In New York, the Brooklyn Academy of Music will hold its 34th annual tribute. A tradition since 1990, the celebration is New York City's largest public tribute to Dr. King's life and vision. In Washington, D.C., there's a film program. The Kennedy Center honors Martin Luther King Jr. with a double feature of films drawn from the writings of James Baldwin, an American novelist, playwright, and activist. In Georgia, the NAACP annual Freedom March Parade takes place in McDonough to promote strong families and community involvement. The Penn State community will honor the life and legacy of Dr. King during the 35th annual MLK commemoration at University Park. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.